This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Welcome along to episode 19 of the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast, the penultimate edition of this season. And for every single step of the way, I've been joined by Ollie. And guess what? For the penultimate step, I am also joined by Ollie.
Yeah, it's great to be here again. Loving it. Loving being back. Shame the same can't be said for the football at the minute, but I've been enjoying it.
Little glimmer of positivity on the podcast this weekend for you as Pompey won a game at long last and are now 8 unbeaten, which would be absolutely acceptable and would be something to celebrate if there was anything riding on the season, which it was mathematically confirmed last weekend that there sadly is not.
Yeah, unfortunately for us, we drew too many games this year. We said it at the start of the year, we said it in the middle of the year, and we're saying it at the end of the year. The same conversations being had on repeat now, and we've unfortunately become unstuck by that. And like you said, we've got to a point where realistically, if you said to me we're 8 games unbeaten, isn't that a great run? If I hadn't have seen what had happened, I'd completely agree with you. I feel like it's a good achievement to be unbeaten, but it's not a good achievement when you have 4 or 5 draws on the bounce in that 8 run. It's not really good enough, is it?
Lunapod said, "Tell you what, mate, even though it made my eyes bleed at times, I did see some little sparks of light in the darkness against Morecambe. Harry Jewett-White had an excellent debut and looks a good prospect. Paddy Lane was full of running, exciting to watch and a great young talent. Dawes has been pushed," which is obviously Riley Towler, "pushed by the coaches to be more aggressive, and wasn't he just a top player in the making? Colby scrapped for everything, a proper centre forward, and I particularly like the judo throw in the first half. But for me, the man was Deshaun. That boy is class and he's out of contract in the summer. A perfect fit for us moving forward. Once again, thank you so much for your wonderful channel. Living so far away, your content transports me back." So thank you very much to Lunapod for your encouraging thoughts and words about what we are doing. Tony Cook said, "Hi, Tom. Pace is the thing we need. It's obvious that we want to play a possession game, but it just goes nowhere. That's the problem and leads to the dissatisfaction from the crowd. We are too easy to defend against, as only Dale and maybe Curtis have any turn of pace. Sadly, Dale's end product is nowhere near good enough. Jacobs is our most creative player and needs to play in the middle as a 10. It's frustrating because I don't think anyone was surprised at how the game panned out on Saturday. Lane is a good player, but again, there's no real pace. My message to John Messina would be just be more positive. Get the players to run at defenders and commit to them. All too often we take the safe option, turn and go back, and that's what frustrates fans." I think Tony's spot on there, Ollie, and watching Manchester City turn Arsenal over last night made me think. Pompey try and employ the same tactic as City, play a deep and dangerously close ball around the back, keeper to centre-half and vice versa. And then when the time comes, the long ball goes through to Kevin De Bruyne. He takes it 30 yards and scores the opener. Lovely. But with Pompey, A, we don't have the ability to knock it around, nor break down in possession and ultimately lose the ball. B, we don't have the flair or creativity to either unlock a ball or carry it onwards on the receiving end, as Tony mentioned, the lack of pace. So my question is, why bother with the style of knocking it around the back to try and infiltrate and draw teams out when you actually don't have the willpower or manpower or talent or creativity in order to finish the job?
Well, I would start by mildly disagreeing. I think there's a lot of very valid, accurate points that has been said there completely. But Kevin De Bruyne is not the fastest person in the league by a country mile. It's not about, I think pace is the right word, but it's being employed in the wrong way. Whereas I think it's more pace of play in terms of how quickly the ball is moved amongst your team. If you watch City and against Arsenal, which I
perhaps
did,
intensity might be a better word.
Yeah, exactly right. I think that you can tell the difference with a team with confidence, a team without. And I think in that game last night, I thought Arsenal actually played very well, but I just think they were outshone by City. Simple as that. City were a much better side, but you could just see by how quickly the ball was moved. The players weren't darting around all over the place. They were just working well for each other off the ball, getting into position, and they knew where to pass it. And they're creating these little triangles all around the pitch and just feeding the ball quickly, one touch to another, without it stopping. And that's the difference. You know, we collect the ball, we turn out, we look right, we then turn back on ourselves and we pass it back across. And it's a slow, aimless pass towards another centre-back. We need to literally be getting the ball and knowing before we receive the ball where we're going with it and knowing where our players are moving around us. And that's going to come with a bit more experience playing in the way we're playing under Messina, a bit more time. You know, look at Arteta at Arsenal. It took him you know, a full season before he really found himself. In his start of his second season, or start of his, I think it was the start of his first full season, actually, he was getting, everyone was at Arsenal saying, give him the chop, you know, get rid of him, he's not good enough. And then he's given Arsenal the best opportunity of winning the league in the last, what, decade and over? Since 2000, was it 2001 they won the Premiership, I think? Something like
2000,
that.
Yeah, 2002, 2003 season, they were invincible, weren't they?
Yeah, so that...
Thierry Henry days.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's 20 years since they've had this opportunity to win a league, really. You know, where they've actually been in contention come the you know, the fighting part of the season. And they've got the youngest... If they were to win the Premier League this year, it'd be the youngest squad to win the Premier League in history.
I don't think they're going to win it,
no,
actually.
No, they're not going to win it. But what I'm saying, more to the point is what I'm saying is that Arteta's bringing through a very youthful team that's gaining experience game on game after game. So when you look at a team like City that have got the experience, have played together for years and know how each other play, they're a lot more joined up, a lot more able to deal with the pressure. They know how to deal with those situations. They know how to close out a league title. They've got that experience to do it. And I feel like now laying that back onto Pompey, we're in, you know, a new way of playing football. It's been a number of months. It's not going to turn around overnight and all of a sudden be, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. We got a couple of good results and we haven't played too badly. But the reality of it is that we need to get more used to playing with each other in this method as a team. And that's going to come with consistency. You know, we need Messina to be consistent in the message that he's sending the team. But we also need the players to become consistent in the terms of staying around. So, you know, it's something we said before, we said it last week, we need this summer to retain the players we've got, add in bits where we need them, and continually like fight this battle of, are we going to continually push this type of football? This is the way we want to play going forward. This is what we need to do. This is how we need to move the ball. This is how we need to be off the ball. This is how we need to look for each other. And before you know it, it will come together and we'll start picking teams apart.
You know, you mentioned it's not going to happen overnight and needs to be some form of consistency. That is something that John Messina has actually been sort of criticised for in the last days and weeks. And I kind of wince every time he opens his mouth on a press conference at the moment, because I know that his comments are not going to be met with widespread jubilation. He used the term, we can't just wave a magic wand and expect straight away everything's going to be fine. He also accepts the frustration amongst the fan base, and he accepts that they wanted him to come in and they want to get promoted, and Pompey don't want to be playing League One football for any longer than they have to. And you're quite right in what you're saying. Do you also get the word on the street in terms of people not being overly happy? Well, I say not being overly happy. No one's happy with going into our seventh season in League One. And you're kind of looking around you and thinking, how many times have we been calling for a consistent team? How many times have we been saying we need to stick to a game idea? How long are fans going to put up with this cycle of getting, you know, this is our third season with no playoffs. And I obviously don't want to have the same conversation as we've had on the podcast last week. I don't want to have the same conversation that we've been saying on the videos and in the live streams recently. But can you get, do you understand and appreciate the frustration? And are you one of those people that's frustrated with the magic wand comment? Or do you can kind of also see where Messina's coming from?
I am more on board with his comments than anything else. I think that I agree with him, if I'm honest. I don't think... We've got to take ourselves back to where we were in January. And that's what we've got to look at it from. We've got to go...
15th.
Yeah. We're in a massively better place now than we were then, right? We've made some fantastic steps in the right direction, but it's not perfect. Now, I would rather see us, and let's face it, at that point in the season, no one thought we were making playoffs. So the fact we haven't made playoffs isn't really a shock with what's happened this season. But we've got to take the positives from it, which is Messina's had, you know, a full term with the players, basically, isn't he? January through to the end of the season. So he's had a full transfer term with those players. Now, he's going to know who's deadwood, who's not at this point. And he's got to make some decisions this summer and hopefully retain the players we need to retain and bring in some new, you know, new fresh players to the squad that are going to really help strengthen it going into next season. And he can add and bring something now to the Pompey side that hopefully will be quite exciting for next year, that we can look forward to next year with a little bit of, you know, we've actually got a proper opportunity of pushing for playoffs and pushing for, you know, strong promotion spots. And that's where we should be looking towards next season. The fact that we haven't been successful this season isn't really too much of a surprise to any of us. But the problem we had is because he kind of was over successful in his first 10 games with us, I think we all started to believe that little bit that we could get the playoffs. And then the fact that we haven't, we're all now a little disappointed, when the reality of it is we would have been perfectly happy with the position we're in now, you know, in January, if someone had asked you that. So I agree with what you're saying. It's not a magic wand. And I do perfectly, I think he's 100% right. I think with the squad we had in January, the players that we've got at our disposal, the strength and depth we've got, I think he's done a fantastic job to bring a new lease of life to those players. And I think there's a lot of players that are growing in confidence playing in this side and the setup that we've got, which is great to see. And I am hopeful that he's going to prove me right again and come into next season, and we'll look like a very different Pompey side to we did this year, with a, you know, a full pre-season under the belt and a summer transfer window in there as well.
But can you accept four draws on the spin against teams such as Oxford, Shrewsbury, Morecambe, MK Dons, and then finally just shaving a win off Accrington Stanley of recent times?
No. We know that's not good enough. We know that's not good enough. All Pompey fans know that isn't good enough. But the difference is that we're playing in a very competitive league, and we're playing with a team that hasn't been chosen by this manager.
Now, so naturally, you are going to have some problems.
Yeah, inevitably. You know, he's got to build a squad. And even sat here now thinking about it, going, you know, can we push for promotion next season? Realistically, yes, we can. The form we've been on under him to this point would be fine, and we'd be in and around the promotion spots in terms of playoffs.
If you applied it to a full season next year.
Yeah, exactly. And if you add a couple of decent players to that and you manage to nick a couple of extra wins and not have so many draws, all of a sudden you're looking more towards the top end of the league. So there's very fine margins here that we're talking about. But you've still got to remember that he's going to have a summer to get rid of a few players and bring in a few players. It's not going to be a massive squad change.
We are told there are up to 10 signings to be made this summer.
Yeah.
Including fees being paid and a move away from a reliance or an over-reliance on the loan market.
Yes. I think we definitely need to do that, because we have been very, very, very bad at that in recent years, haven't we? We do seem to get some very good loanees in that disappear at the end of the year, or we end up selling our best players. So we end up probably losing four or five players from a squad that we don't really want to lose come the end of the season, that have played week in, week out for us. Now, there's obviously at this level, you're always going to get some loanees coming, because you've got players in the Championship clubs that need game time, that need some experience. You know, the younger guys coming through their development squads, and it's a very strong level of football in the Championship. So they need some experience in League One, League Two, before they play in the Championship for that squad. So we are going to get a couple of loanees, I'm sure, and that's just inevitable in the league that we're in. However, we do also have the opportunity to sign some very good players. Like we're saying, Deshaun's out of contract come the end of the summer. Now, what a fantastic opportunity, a fantastic signing that would be for us if we were able to nick him. And there's going to be other players, I believe, you know, there's a lot of players that come up on a free at the end of their contract, at the end of a season, in League One every year. And there'll be a lot of movement around this transfer window, but we've got to make sure that we retain the players that we want to retain. And it'll be interesting to see what players he decides are the players that are right for his setup and the way we play football. Because I have a suspicion Colby will stay, but Colby's got a contract for another year, has he not?
Couple of years, actually, yeah. He's contracted for quite a few seasons, actually. Well, I mean, Joe Morrell said to Andy Moon at BBC Radio Solent today, he was talking about his sending off and how frustrating it's been, kind of sat on the sidelines for four games. He said, I've got another 2 years here and we're going to do absolutely everything we can in our power to get this club back up the league. So he's a man that's not going anywhere. I actually compiled a list, albeit it's relatively shorter than I thought it would be. I had a little bit of time to kind of sit down and think about it. But I have a list of players here that I would consider to be the spine of the team heading into the transfer window. Once kind of Deadwood is cleared and names are gone, and I don't think it'd be wise to kind of single out players and say, right, get him gone, whatever, because I don't think that's particularly respectful. But
sure,
the list, the list of people that I would, there's a couple more that I'd add to that as well. The list of people that I would keep, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Obviously, Matt Macey in goal.
Yeah.
Swanson, Rafferty, Towler, DeSean Pack, Lowry, Morrell, Thompson, Bishop, Lane. That would be the members of this current playing squad that I would either have in the 11 or in the periphery of the team heading into next season. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players. Exactly. It's not quite a starting 11 because there's a couple of overlaps in terms of positions and whatever. And I've only named one striker. However,
that, all right, Kenny Jacket.
That would be, well, to be fair, we've only been playing one striker recently as well. So hi, John Massino as well. That would only be the spine of a team. But ultimately, if you're looking at adding 10 names to that, you know, you're not going to be looking at a terrible squad heading into next season.
No, and I think that's the thing, was we need to go, where are our strengths? What are we doing well at the minute? I think defensively, we've been decent, but I do feel that's more down to Macey than our defence.
Towler's got so much more ball-carrying threat than either Raga or Robertson. It is unbelievable. Just the stark contrast between watching him against Accrington and Raga against Morecambe and Shrewsbury is remarkable. I cannot describe. And he's been out of... Towler's been out in the cold, let's not forget, under Massino of late. And he's come back in with a point to prove and gone, right, here we go, this is me. Let's have some of it. And hopefully he will be the first. I mean, DeSean and Towler, for me, I know it's very youthful and it's probably a little bit mistake prone, but nowhere near as much as probably Raggett and Robertson. With all the experience that they have, they make mistakes as well. I think that's a really nice centre-back pairing going into next season.
Yeah, but don't forget, we need a bit more strength and depth than that. We can't just be reliant on those two for an entire season, because inevitably you're going to get injuries, you're going to get cards, you're going to get X, Y, Z. So we've got to get rid of the players that we really don't want to see playing. You know, I hate to keep naming Sean Raggett as a player that I don't see playing, but I do feel that he's someone who needs to go and be replaced this season. You know, he's had a good run with us. I don't see him leaving League One. I think he'll get another game in League One somewhere, and he'll stay in around that level. But he's just, for a promotion pushing side, I personally don't see him in that squad, and I don't see him as someone who should be filling in in that centre-back position throughout the season, because we end up being in this dangerous place, like you've seen, where Towler gets dropped as a consequence of Raggett having a couple of good games, when the reality of it is he's got an absolute stinker in him still. So it'll be interesting to see what does come of this summer and what does come of this transfer window. I've got some very good hope and ambition. 10 players seems a bit strong, if I'm honest.
That is quote-unquote Richard Chu saying 10 signings.
Yeah, I think 10 is a lot. That is a lot of people to move around, a lot of new faces to get into a squad, a lot of gelling you need to do, a lot of rebuilding in terms of the way they think and the way they play football. Now, hopefully he's going to bring in a good handful of them, maybe 6 already have that mindset of that's how they want to play football and that's how they're used to playing. So he'll get people out of the systems that he's currently, the system that he wants to play. Hopefully he'll be picking people that have already played in similar systems and similar setups before. So they'll be fairly used to that. But you just don't know what you're going to get. There's a lot of unknowns there, isn't there? You don't know how the players are going to gel, how they're going to get on with each other. And we're very reliant on a very quick fix in terms of putting them together in a place where they're going to be competing and winning. Most squads that do well have had a few additional players added to them, as opposed to big changes. Look at Ipswich. You know, they made some great signings at the start of the season, but the majority of the core of their squad's very similar to as it has been. So I think that there's a danger in making a lot of signings, but you know, I'm going to put a bit of faith in them, and I'm hopeful that we'll go into next year in a very good place.
I think your positivity and faith in what's going on is correct.
Do you?
Yes, because from a purely recruitment point of view, I think it would be very strange of Pompey fans to sit there and go, I have absolutely zero faith in Richard Hughes and John Massino for getting recruitment right. Solely based on the, albeit one, but still transfer window we have to base their ideas on. You think Matt Macey, Riley Towler, Paddy Lane.
Yeah. Deschamps. Great signings. Great signings.
So those four have arguably been the players of this half season since January. Each one of those have been absolutely spot on. And they've been, you know, the right profiles in terms of position, and they've been, we've really benefited from their presence. So you can take a lot of heart from the fact that probably if you continue in the upward trajectory that we have done in terms of signings over the summer, there's probably a little bit to be positive about.
Yeah, exactly. There's been some great signings for us, isn't there? Yeah, like you just said, those four alone have been fantastic. So let's have some high hopes, because, you know, Matt, I can see Matt Macey being a championship keeper. Mm. Deschamps certainly could be a championship defender. Towler certainly could be a championship defender. And I believe, you know,
Paddy Lane's championship quality.
Yeah. I was trying to get his name out of my head. Okay. It wouldn't leave. Paddy Lane, he was, what, one of EFL's Player of the Year last year?
Was the young Player of the Season last season, yeah.
Yeah, so with his age and his experience now at Pompey for, you know, half a season, hopefully next year he can continue to progress and then he can become a championship player. Like, I don't see that being an issue for him. In general progression, you get better as you get a bit older, you get a bit more experience under your belt as a footballer. You hit your physical peak when you're around 28, don't you? So he's going to be moving into that direction. I would like to think that he's certainly capable of playing in the championship to a good level. So
who's capable of being a championship striker would be Colby Bishop, of course.
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be said in terms of the difference in level and physicality in the championship compared to our league. I think but then again, there's a lot more funding, a lot more availability, you know, that the clubs can invest in more nutrition or more personal trainers, more gym equipment, more recovery equipment, more physios, more everything, you know.
Cryo chambers.
Exactly. All that kind of gizmos that make you, you know, be able to run your legs into the ground, get in a freezing pod for 30 seconds and come out like a newborn. Like you just, you know, you're fresh as a daisy, ready to go. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see a transition. It'll be interesting to see the clubs that got promoted this year, how they phase in the championship, because, you know, all of them have played fantastic football this year. And I think that personally, I feel like they shouldn't be a club that goes up and back down.
And none of them are up with two games to go, which shows you how competitive that top end of the league is. Let's come back to League One title relegation towards the end of the show. Let's chat Derby. Pompey travel to Pride Park, where serial promotion winner at this level, Paul Warne, is currently in charge of the playoff hungry Rams. They know a win against an average Pompey team keeps them in within a shout heading into a crunch clash at Hillsborough for Derby next weekend, as in the weekend after this coming one. Obviously, it is far, far more exciting occasion for Derby fans than it is for Pompey fans, Ollie, but wouldn't it be typical of us to go there and get a result after all the doom and gloom of recent weeks?
Yes. It definitely
would.
Could
see a 1-0 Pompey incoming.
It would be a real upset, wouldn't it? It really would be an upset. Especially, like you said, we've scraped draws and the odd win against the bottom four teams in the league, basically. And then you turn up at Derby away and give them an absolute hiding. If we do, credit to us, really. You know, I think that whatever way that game goes, it doesn't...
Oh, bless you. To counteract that, Derby have been amazing this season. And Paul Warne is a very good manager. And they're a very well-supported club. And they're a championship club minimum, aren't they? So,
yes, exactly right. They're very well-funded. I mean, you look at... You know,
well, they had some financial problems, so don't say they're well funded, but
no,
they are now, but yeah, they weren't at one point.
Exactly, yeah. They went through some hardship. They don't really deserve to be at our level. I mean, they had Wayne Rooney as their manager, for God's sake. He was a player for them, wasn't he? So he was a player manager.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they've had some, you know, some fantastic accolades in previous years, and they've done extremely well in their time, and they don't deserve to be in our league, nor do we, nor do Plymouth, nor do, you know, Ipswich, nor anyone really. There's a lot of clubs in our league that are much bigger than this level that are stuck in playing Port Vale every week, or Accrington Stanley. We none of us really want to be here. So it would be nice for Derby to get out of this league.
And it would be a credit to the manager, you know, showing how well he's done and how successful he's been. And, you know, we like to see that because obviously it's important for young managers to keep this kind of air of consistency and keep, you know, there's too much in football these days. There's too much rotation of managers, I feel. So it's nice to see someone being successful and showcase themselves to continually being successful at our level. Wish we could get someone who'd do that for us. And hopefully Mourinho will be the man to do that next season. But yeah, I think that it would be very typical of us to go there and turn him over, if I'm honest. I can see it happening. I don't know about you. I don't know how you think, but I can really see us going there and stealing a win.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't see it being a boring 0-0 draw. Either Derby will run away with it or we'll win the game. I think it's probably one of two scenarios to come out of it. It wouldn't surprise me either way. And the only other thing I would add just to the tail end of our conversation is Joe Morel and Colby Bishop are both massive Nottingham Forest fans. So maybe there's a bit of an added incentive on Saturday for them to go out there and get a result against some arch nemesis. An arch nemesis club of their beloved Forests.
So. I didn't know that Nottingham Forest was in Wales. I thought, well, Morel was Welsh, isn't he?
He was actually born in Ipswich, supports Forest, plays for Pompey, and is Welsh, apparently. So, you know, it's all going on, really. But yeah, I think that pretty much rounds up. We could do a deep dive and go, yeah, let's look at the kind of the form and the ones to watch and whatever. But really, there's not an awful lot of point now, is there? This is the bit of a parting atmosphere one at the end of the season.
I think the more interesting battle is right at the top now. Who's going to come out on top come the end
of the
season?
Who do you think will come out on top then? Just quickly. So you've got Ipswich and Plymouth who are kind of running away with it at the moment. Sheffield Wednesday are kind of third in a three-horse race. Barnsley have obviously cemented a playoff spot. And then there's those last two playoff spots for either Bolton or Derby or even maybe Peterborough with a shout. So Plymouth going to win the league or is it going to be the relentless Ipswich who have been fantastic for weeks?
I hope Ipswich. They had a good win on the weekend, didn't they? Who did they play?
They beat Barnsley in midweek a couple of days ago as well. That was
we looked at this last pod, didn't we? And we concluded that Ipswich had the tougher run, but
they've just won every game though, and it's completely blown our predictions out the water.
This is what I mean. They're like a City, really, aren't they? You know, they're in that kind of form in our league. That's the way I've sort of described them currently, where they're just being relentless. They're going out there and just battering teams. So, and they have all season. Let's face it. It's not like a new thing. We shouldn't really be surprised by it.
But they haven't caught Argyle, have they?
No, exactly. Somehow Argyle are keeping that ahead. But knowing what Plymouth are like, I think that Ipswich are going to win the league this year.
Second?
Plymouth.
And then your playoff winners?
Barnsley.
I am in complete agreement with you, actually. I maybe think Ipswich might just do the title. If they could, you know, I suppose both teams, Port Vale, Burton, and then I think it's Port Vale, Burton, and then Ipswich have got Exeter and Fleetwood. But the one thing I'm thinking about, and I know it's probably bordering on match fixing, but Exeter will probably not want Plymouth to win the league, will they? So maybe they might throw the towel in against Ipswich. I don't know. Maybe
we've seen a similar thing before at the end of a season with Pompey in the Premiership, didn't we? When we were playing, was it West Brom?
Yeah, we sent that 17 years ago when we sent the Scummers down. Yeah, I'll claim the fame.
David James forgot to catch a ball.
Yeah, we celebrated like West Brom fans that day, didn't we? Happy days. Yeah. Score for Saturday?
2-1, Pompey.
Well, I think as it's our penultimate episode, I will be in agreement. I'll go for a 2-1 as well. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's been lovely to have your company for the last half hour or so. We're looking forward to having you on along on the journey for Saturday's video as well. We'll have 4-0 Sunday Live for you this weekend as well. Our final 4-0 Sunday Live of the season, so come and join us for that. Thanks for joining me, Ollie. Keep the faith. We'll see you over the weekend. And of course,
play up, Pompey.